welcome, folks, to this interview with banker extraordinaire Carl Brandt. Now, I know on the outset, an interview with a banker talking about finance might not get you all juiced up and excited, but I've got to tell you that the stuff that Carl shares in this interview, you know, if you're looking for financing or developing a better relationship with the bank, it is absolute gold. He gets into just the nitty-gritty of the things that you need to have in place, some tips on how to develop better relationships, and explains and debunks some of the myths of why, you know, banks sometimes have the perception as being not that cooperative. And, you know, I've certainly come across many business owners who have a pretty negative view on the banks, and in getting to know Carl and chatting about things from his side of the fence, you know, it really starts to be clear on how you can, as a business owner, set up a proactive relationship and make the banks work for you. So, look, with that, I'll cut it off and let you get into the interview. Enjoy the gold that Carl shares with us. Have fun. Well, I've got Carl Brandt on the line. Carl, how are you doing?
Yeah, good, thanks, Jamie, and you?
Awesome, mate, awesome. Look, thanks for your time, Carl. I appreciate it. And we're just going to dive in and have a bit of discussion around banking and lending and what business owners need to be aware of. So maybe before we do that, I'll flip it over to you, Carl, and you can just sort of give everyone a bit of a understanding of who you are, a bit about your background, and then we'll jump into some questions.
Yeah, no problem. Happy to help. So my background is quite a diverse background. Currently banking in corporate and commercial banking at ANZ. So I've been here for going on 12 months. Prior to that, I was at CBA for about 7 years in a very similar role. So I look after business, corporate and commercial clients where the exposure is or lending or balance sheet borrowing requirement is anywhere from $1 million to $35 million. Generally diverse business, so there's lots of done specialisation banking previously, so things like childcare, property, tourism and so forth. At the moment, generalist banker, so I look after a whole suite of everything from importing, exporting, trading, property, retail, wholesale, a bit of everything. So yeah, that's my background in a nutshell.
Cool. That's awesome. Thanks, Carl. Look, I mean, we've chatted about why we want to have this call, but maybe I'll just reiterate, you know, sitting on, you know, I'm more often sitting on the business owner's side of the desk, and it's a, you know, common conception that business owners feel that, you know, bankers are always adversary, or they're not necessarily on their side. So maybe we'll start with that one. You know, our goal is to sort of dispel some of the myths or some of the current misconceptions. So maybe we can start with why do you believe, Carl, that business owners feel like the banks are not necessarily on their side? What do you see? How do you see that from your point of view?
Yeah, look, there's lots of little misconceptions out there. I think, you know, people have opinions of bankers that are derived from various areas, be it from, you know, the movies and things like that out of Wall Street and bankers over there. I think business banking in Australia is very different to what people perceive as bankers, you know, when you see them in movies and so forth. So Part of, I guess, of those adversary perceptions is, you know, it's probably coming through hard times, you know, through previous, you know, credit crunches or property crashes and so forth. Valuations come back and the bank is ultimately the person sort of going to the client and saying, well, you know, how's the bank going to get its money back? And to top that off, I guess there's been over time, and probably as a result of the global financial crisis, there's been a tightening of regulation within banking. And that also, again, makes for interesting conversations with clients, because going to the good old days when you turn up to the bank in a branch and you say, oh, I've got $1 million, and you check on the spot and there you go. You know, now there's just copious amounts of information that the banker needs to obtain, assess, and ultimately decision a file on. Terms of, you know, yay or nay as to whether someone gets money from the bank or not. So I think, you know, the combination of all that regulatory change, you know, hard times previously and difficult conversations with clients when valuations come off, you know, property values don't always go up, unfortunately, but, you know, that the combination of all of those things, I think, is probably, you know, put the adversary perception out there, I guess, in the market. Yeah. But I tell you, sorry, just to counter that a little bit, though, those clients you mentioned, that how do we sort of dispel some of that? The clients ultimately that do have great engagement with their bank or their banker and regular communication and sort of do some forward planning, you know, as opposed to they sign a contract to buy a property at auction or something and they go to the bank the next day and say, I need to finance tomorrow. They're the ones that obviously had the difficulty in getting finance, but the ones that say, come to the bank first and say, look, I'm thinking about doing this. How do we do it? How do we structure it? How do we get the finance, how do the approval or level of company in place first? And then they go on the hunt for an opportunity. So they're the ones that ultimately end up growing better profitability, better return, better engagement from the bank and get their money quicker and easier.
Yeah. Now, look, I'm just going to skip back to something you said there. I know the perception has been there. So, no, I mean, I'm generalizing here, obviously, but sometimes people feel that, you know, when they need money, they go to the bank because the bank should be their partner and, you know, they're kind of obliged in some respects to lend. Maybe we can start with really getting clear for people. What is it the kind of lending that banks do and where don't they get involved? Because I think that a lot of people misunderstand that. Can you know, there's that chart that you've shown me before about where the banks really play. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, you know, the chart that you mentioned is something I've put together that sort of shows the business and financing life cycle of any business. So at the early seed stage of a business when they're starting up or it's an idea or concept, you know, the banks don't generally play or finance and provide loans to businesses at the startup phase. I say that when I'm coming from a corporate commercial relationship background, there are banks and there's one of them that is a little earlier in the financing realm, so they do tend to be more accommodating to the early phase businesses. But just general rule of thumb is that, you know, the first process in the financing is generally through, you know, your own personal wealth and resources and then obviously tapping into, you know, they say the three F's, the family, friends and fools that are happy to invest in your business as a startup, then possibly a little bit more equity goes in the business. When the business, you can, you know, it's starting to see that there's some prospects there, they're getting sales and so forth. You know, business owners may potentially look to angel investors or, you know, equity partners to go to that next level. It's really the bank financing part where banks ultimately like to bank is really when there's, you know, demonstrated profit sales and profitability of a given business. So that's, I guess, the key to it is, you know, if there's a good trading performance, there's some profitability there, then the banks are happy to bank that client. So where banks don't want to play is, you know, where there's consistent losses in a business, there's no balance sheet, there's no, you know, the business is in decline. If a business is in decline, that's when they really need to go back to those equity partners and repay some debts or that they may have out of equity and trying to recapitalise the business to free up some cash flow or maybe tap back into, if the business is really and truly in decline, back or the same cycle back down towards the whole family, friends and fools scenario. But ultimately, where the bank does like to play is good trading businesses that do have some demonstrated profitability.
Yeah, so I mean, it's important that people look at banks as their investors. I mean, they're looking to make an investment, and as investors, they're, you know, when you compare them to the spectrum of people that can be investors, they're relatively conservative. Is that a fair comment?
Yeah, without a doubt, and that's exactly how clients should view, you know, coming to the bank and having a chat to a bank about, you know, potential financing of, you know, being an acquisition of property purchase or some cash flow financing or what have you. They should look at it. They're going to have a conversation with an investor because at the end of the day, the conversation is the same whether they're trying to raise equity from a private investor or a partner or an investor angel, or they're trying to come to the bank to seek some financing. So the mechanism of raising the capital or the financing proposal, sorry, is maybe slightly different. One's equity, one's debt, but ultimately the conversation is the same. So, you know, what's the business doing, where it's going, what's the industry, where does the business want to go, how's the money going to be returned. So if it's debt, the debt repaid. If it's equity, what's my equity contribution, how am I going to get a return on that? So it's a very, very similar conversation.
Yeah. Now, if we can just sort of go a little bit deeper in that. So what's, I mean, if someone, say someone is trading profitably, but they need some funds to expand or to invest in capital, what are the things that bank, what are the primary things that the bank is going to look at in terms of the strength of their application?
The number one hurdle that any banker has is information, I guess. So, you know, they need to be, when a client comes to a bank, they need to have be, you know, a little bit prepared. They don't need to have War and Peace. And you've heard me say before that an application is very much like a prospectus. You know, it needs to detail and understand all the industry parameters of the given business and all the risks associated with that business and that industry and their plans, you know, the business owner's plans. So I guess, you know, preparing some of that information, so they need to have, you know, up-to-date financial statements and an idea of, you know, A, what the, how much money they need, and B, what the money is going to be used for, and C, how it's going to be repaid to the bank. You know, and if you start with those sort of three things, you're off on a you know, pretty good path to be able to get a yes from the bank.
Now, I know you had, I mean, I don't want to go into the absolute details of all the analysis you guys do, but you've run me through it before, and I mean, it's quite in depth. Can you speak a little bit to maybe the two major categories? I think it was you saying it's the risk, or sorry, the security and serviceability. Am I right?
Yeah, there? Absolutely. So there's two primary aspects of any loan, and the first one's the cash flow. So ultimately, that's how we're going to get our money back. If we're lending someone, you know, $10 million, what's the cash flow and what's that repayment profile look like from that cash flow? And then the security. You know, so if something does happen in the industry or the owner, or you know, touch wood, obviously, something like that doesn't happen. But ultimately, what's our second way out? And that's the security aspect. So the servicing is number one, the cash flow. And number two is the security aspect of any loan.
Now, I suspect, like you mentioned, the need to give good information is important in your application. And, you know, certainly a lot of the business owners I have talked with, writing out or preparing an application for some funding is not something that they naturally do, or they don't know how to do it. I mean, what is the best way if someone's sitting there saying, I need to go to the bank to apply for a loan? Do they go to their accountant? Do they call their bankrupt to guide them through it? What's the best way for them to sort of get the help they need?
Yeah, look, if the client already has a relationship manager or a relationship manager with a bank, probably a good early point of call is to contact them first of all and just say, look, I'm considering borrowing some money because of X, Y, and Z. Can you tell me what you would like to see from me? I'm going to collate an information pack for you. Can you tell me what you would like to see from me? What information and what financial, you know, what sort of, you know, financial information, and also what sort of story? Because the story piece can be, particularly when you're getting forward-looking information, so budgets and projections and cash flows and so forth, forward-looking, sometimes the story behind those numbers the story behind those numbers is more important than the actual numbers. So, you know, if they first point a call, talk to the banker and say, what would you like to see from me? Start providing a bit of context and story as to why you want to borrow those funds. That's a really good starting point. And the banker should be able to help. Look, you can actually, there's a fair amount of information online as well about, through, you know, business government websites. So to give you a bit of insight, you know, the top 10 tips, top 20 tips kind of things for how to get money from the bank. They're a very good place to start as well. Some accountants are good at helping their clients get financed, and we've spoken about that before as well. But yeah, you obviously need to find a good accountant that does have a good understanding of, you know, corporate finance and lending and so forth. But they're also a good source of advice.
Yeah, I think I'd just like to highlight there that the accountant is not necessarily going to have all the answers. Like, you know, a business owner can't just go to their accountant and assume they're going to take care of it. They need to sort of make sure they're talking with their banker as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Cool. So if we can go on another track here, you've talked a bit about obviously talking with the banker, depends on what sort of relationship you've got with your banker. What is, you know, is it important for a business owner to develop their relationship with their banker? I mean, that might seem like a dumb question based on what we've been talking about, but maybe speak a little bit to that, Carl. What, as a banker, what do you look for? What's important? You know, what's it like being in your shoes as far as the relationship with the client goes?
It's a timely conversation, actually, today, this conversation, because I actually went out today and I saw a client that I used to look after at a previous institution. I'm sure you can guess where. And they that client, I'll never forget when I first met him, you know, he was essentially had started not so long ago as a one-man band with one vehicle, and he bought that business as that, and he's now grown it into, he's about to acquire another business, and hence the conversation, and he'll be turning over the best part of $32 million. So it's a pretty good result, but I actually put down a lot of his success is purely related to his openness, his engagement, and his willingness to learn along the process and engage with his bank. So I'll never forget when I first met him, I turn up to the meeting, and here I have, you know, and this sounds a little banky here, but you know, I turn up to the meeting, and he goes, "Here's my business plan. Here's where I'm going. Here's what my plan is. What I'm doing. Here's my last year's account prepared financial statements. Here's my last quarter's account prepared consolidated financial statements." And just a dream, you know, just that sort of stuff just makes the banker's life a hell of a lot easier. He knew exactly how much he wanted, knew what he wanted to spend it on, and what it was going to get him in terms of where he was going with his business and profitability and so forth by buying those particular assets. So that's one example of a guy who's highly engaged, and the example of a client that's not engaged, you know, that views the relationship with their banker is very adversarial. They're the ones that are always late with info, you know, highly likely don't have engaged staff as well, and it's quite a common scenario. Profitability is probably not sound, not willing to take advice, and they're the ones that ultimately don't get a yes when they come to the bank. So,
Is there anything that business owners should be doing outside of the times when they need to borrow money to build a relationship? Is there any value there?
Yeah, again, you know, pulling back to examples of previous clients, you know, even when you don't need money, like I had a client previously who every year, whilst he did have some borrowings, don't get me wrong, but there was no new requirement. The guy didn't have covenants. Yes, every client in the bank needs an annual review process. That's part of the regulation. But every year, he would prepare his nicely presented consolidated accounts from his accountant. They would come to us. He'd get a copy. On the cover would be a nice letter saying, "Here's my financials," a bit of a summary of the year from him. And also included within that was some detailed commentary in regards to year-on-year movements and industry information about what's happened in the industry from his accountant. So that kind of stuff just enables a banker, whilst they mightn't need it for a given transaction or an increase or what have you, it just enables when the client does find an opportunity or a business to acquire or an asset he wants to pick up or something, it enables the banker to very, very quickly go to a yes and get an answer for that client because they've already got the information there. So, yeah, contrasting that is the client that, you know, always provide the information sort of late, and when it comes, it's probably only the bare minimum. They're the ones that when they do want to buy a business or a property or whatever it is, they come to the bank, and then you have to send the big wish list, essentially catching up on all that missed data that mm-hmm. you missed out on since the last transaction. So, you know, it pays to keep engaged with the bank, you know, whether it's a completely up to the client, obviously, whether it's a monthly, quarterly, half-yearly meeting with the banker. Talk about, you know, where you're going, where you're coming from, provide, you know, the board report or the management information pack that you would, the client, you know, your client or our, the bank's client would review each month about their performance. Yeah, share that with your banker. Bankers love that stuff.
So. Yeah. It's about staying in touch, keeping engaged, not just when you need something.
Yeah,
absolutely. Which is interesting because, I mean, from a business owner's point of view, that's going to be seen as a lot of work that, you know, may not be necessary if I can just get it done without that. But, you know, those proactive touches that keeps the bank engaged makes it a lot easier to get that yes down the track. So, look, maybe one final question here.
Sorry, just on that. I mean, yeah, it might sound like a lot of work, but it shouldn't. So I'm not advocating here that you need to do something over and above what you should already be doing within a business. So I'd imagine all of your clients, you would have, you know, a monthly meeting with those guys. And so, you know, here's the monthly, last month's financials, what moved month on month, what's happening, what we're seeing. So some kind of board pack or management information account. I'm suggesting, you know, potentially, and it doesn't have to be monthly, it could be quarterly, maybe sharing that with your banker. So right. I'm not suggesting that you go over and above and create some unique magic report just for your banker. Just whatever you're using currently in your business to manage your business, so your own KPIs around, you know, whether it's margins or sales or whatever it happens to be,
mm-hmm.
just, you know, share that management information back with your banker. So cool. You don't have to reinvent the wheel. Mm.
Great idea. Last question here to to wrap up, Carl, outside of the realm of banking, if someone is in the need of, and we cover this a little bit, maybe you can expand a little bit, if someone isn't a fit for the bank, where should they be looking? Where do they go to get some financing? What would be your advice there?
It depends what they're looking to, you know, whether it's an acquisition or they're in a bother or what have you, but there's a multitude of, you know, sort of short-term lenders out there, mezzanine lenders and so forth. There's, you know, second, third, fourth and fifth tier lenders. But, you know, investors, I guess, don't be, if you want to take the business to the next level potentially and it's not a bankable transaction, there's people out there that are willing to back businesses in terms of providing some, taking some equity in a business to help the business get to that next level. So, you know, there's equity partners, other banks, mezz lenders. There's plenty of spots out there to get money.
Cool. Awesome. Look,
One other thing that people possibly forget and don't realise is that there's actually some really good grants out there as well. That's another way that you can get some funding. So, there's Grant Finder Queensland and so forth. You can jump onto the web and there's local grants, state government grants, national grants and so forth. There's also industry grants out there. I know depending on what business you're in, I know, for example, volunteer organisations, quite frequently one I'm involved with, the Volunteer Marine Rescue, they quite often seek grants and are given grants from the likes of Jupiter's Casino, for example. Now, those guys tend to, you know, because of the industry they're in, they're required to sort of give back to the community, and that's how they do that sometimes by grants. So that's another way. And just part and parcel of what you do as well is obviously help clients manage their cash flow. So in that working capital side, well, that's another way to release some cash. You know, maybe if someone hasn't paid you and they're out 90, 120 days or something, you know, that's another way to get some cash and cash flow back into the business too, maybe chasing and actually collecting and better managing that cash flow. Working capital cycle of the business is another good way for funding.
Absolutely. And how, actually, one question that came to mind, how closely do you look at how well they manage their cash flow in terms of their, their eligibility for funding?
Yeah, it's imperative. So, you know, one of the key items that you first sort of look at, you know, is what their working capital cycle is and how they, you know, how are they financing their businesses. You know, paying creditors too early, or they're letting the debtors blow out, or they just, you know, one of the key problem that clients find themselves in is that, you know, poor stock management means they've tied up too much cash in the business in terms of stock and inventory. And they struggle when cash flow run out of cash and, you know, find themselves in a problem. Yeah, they haven't got the right financing arrangement.
Awesome. Before we wrap up, Carl, a quick plug for you. What sort of companies do you like to speak to, whether it's size or other criteria? Who should be giving you a call?
Yeah, so any trading business, basically. So that is, like I said, I mean, it doesn't have to be in any particular industry. I'm very much a generalist banker. I like looking at all different types of businesses. So as I said, black and white, our space is anywhere from the 1 to 35 area, but my sweet spot, I suppose, is anywhere from the 2 to 10 mil space in terms of borrowings, because that's, you know, where I like to play, but B, also the demographics of businesses around the area on the Gold Coast. There's obviously lots more of those businesses in that space. And anyone that's looking to grow and looking to engage with their banker that's profitable and wanting to really kick some goals, they should please feel free to give me a call.
Fantastic. And I'll put your contact details in below the recording here in the blog post. Well, Carl, thanks, mate. Thanks so much for your time. I appreciate it. I know you're a wealth of information. We could have gone into a ton more detail, but I think just trying to keep it high level so people get an understanding of, you know, some of the most important things to consider has been very valuable. So I really appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. Happy to help.
All right. Have a great day. Yeah.
Thanks, Jamie. See you later.
Well, there you have it, folks, straight from Carl, giving us some tips and tricks on how to work with banks and get the funding we need to be able to grow our businesses. So that's it for now. If you've got any other topics or interviews that you'd like me to do, any experts or specific issues, feel free to comment under this blog post or send me an email at jamie@jamiecunningham.com. Have a great day and go out there and change the world.